Welcome to It's Your Turn. I'm Brenda Florida, certified life coach, and no matter how exhausted, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed you are, there is hope. You can start exactly where you are. There's nothing wrong with you. In fact, you're ready for it to be your turn, or you wouldn't be here. You know, we hear words like vitality and confidence and empowerment and transformation, but what do they really mean? What do they look like in the practical aspects of our life? In the It's Your Turn podcast, we explore, learn, and put into practice practical tools and wise concepts for transformation. This is real life change, not platitudes. It's the intersection of the practical and the aspirational. It's your turn to make decisions that are aligned with exactly what you want. And if you've lost connection to what you want, that's okay, we'll reconnect it. You'll learn how to shift out of self-sabotaging patterns and tap in to the clarity, confidence, and vitality that you may feel like has been lost forever. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat of your life and embrace the power that is within you. So let's get to it. This is a topic I'm very passionate about. It is, what do you need to give yourself permission for? Because so often, without even realizing it, we are waiting for someone else to give us permission for something. We're waiting for someone we work with, a boss, a company owner, you know, whoever, to give us the raise or to give us the promotion instead of asking for it ourselves. We're waiting for our spouse to do something we want or something we need instead of asking for it ourselves. There's so many ways that this idea of giving ourselves permission for things infiltrates our lives. And again, usually unknowingly, we're waiting for somebody else to just give it, say yes, tell us we don't have to, whatever it is. So here are a few examples that have come up a lot recently with clients. So they're waiting for permission to be successful. It's funny because you would think that's easy. And I work with pretty much everybody that works with me is very ambitious in multiple ways, professionally, personally, what they want out of life, all those things. And yet there's a way of which they are waiting for someone else to give them the okay for it. Waiting for permission to be happy. And again, as silly as that may sound, there's probably several criteria you have put on yourself that until that happens, you won't be happy, or you won't be as happy as you could be, kind of a thing. So it doesn't mean you're miserable now, but everything that we're thinking, well, I would just be happier if I made more money. I would be happier if I had more clients, if I had more business, if I sold more of the things I want to sell, if I had a new car, if my kids were happier, if my spouse was happier, if my parents weren't aging and I didn't have to take care of them, you know, whatever all the reasons are that we put on ourselves that limit our happiness, we can actually overcome those, or sort of, it's not exactly overcoming, maybe is not the best word, but like transcend is actually a really good word. So I can give myself permission to be happy even when my spouse is suffering in some way. You know, maybe they've had a big setback or their health is suffering or something like that. And you're wanting them to sort of tell you it's okay to be happy. Prioritizing ourselves can be a big area that we unconsciously or consciously are not giving ourselves permission for it, okay? Where it feels selfish. I can't prioritize myself, or I can't do it now because I got all these other things I need to do, whatever. But the biggest thing that I get on a regular basis is that people don't want to prioritize themselves because when they do, or if they even think about doing it, they feel guilty. It makes them feel like they're selfish. So when you're thinking those kinds of thoughts, obviously you're not going to give yourself permission to prioritize yourself, to love your body exactly the way it is. Maybe that's the permission you need to give yourself, that you don't have to lose the weight. Maybe you want to. Maybe you want to lose weight. You want to be in better shape. You want to be stronger. I know I do. Particularly in the stronger aspect, I don't think about my weight a lot, but I've gotten out of the habit of being at the gym on a regular basis and exercising my body and really even moving my body, just, walking on the beach instead of sitting on the beach, things like that. So I want to have improvement there. Okay, that's okay. But the permission is, can you still love your body exactly as it is? Can I love my body exactly as it is and want to add more movement to it and want to lose weight, whatever? So giving yourself permission doesn't mean complacency. It doesn't mean I don't want something else to change or improve or increase or expand. Giving yourself permission is about, in a lot of ways, it's like allowing, but it's allowing yourself to claim it. The giving yourself the permission to say no to something. I can claim my own boundary that I am not going to go to your whatever party or, I mean, it could be something totally delightful that under normal circumstances you would want to say yes to. And that's probably why you said yes to it when you were asked. But now the time is coming to be there and you don't want to. You've had an emotionally challenging day or a physically exhausting day and you just want to stay home. That's okay. You don't have to have an excuse. You don't have to tell people you're sick or, whatever. The elephant ate your homework. You get to just say, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm going to have to change my plans and say no to this event tonight or whatever it is. Giving yourself permission to say no is a huge, huge, huge thing. So I want you to think about, because I hope that triggers some awareness, some areas of your life that you want to start giving yourself permission for. Okay. And I never want to just leave you there, right? So I want you to think about some of the reasons that you won't give yourself permission or you feel like you can't. It could be more like, again, I can't really live in joy because I've got this aging parent who's in really bad health and, they're dying. Let's just be the most dramatic in that example. And so, how can I be in joy? So, there are all kinds of reasons. They usually come through as thoughts that we believe we can't. The guilt of saying no, the guilt of prioritizing yourself, that feeling of selfishness, or I can't love my body the way it is because if I do, I'll never go to the gym or I'll never lose the weight or I'll never end up doing the things that improve it. We have stories, we have thoughts, we have reasons that we think we can't do that. And so I want you to write those down because being clear on what they are, sometimes even just writing it down is enough for you to realize, oh, wait a minute. This is not really a legitimate excuse, right? Like sometimes once we write something down, we realize, how sort of silly it is or how, I don't mean that in a judgmental way, but just a way that's like, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't have to stop me. I think that my dying parent probably wants me to still have some joy and happiness in my life. I know as a parent, when I am in my final days, I don't want my kids to be miserable. That's not going to help me. So, sometimes just in the writing us them down, we can kind of break out of it a little bit. But if that doesn't happen right away, then ask yourself those questions in a gentle way that isn't harsh on yourself, isn't judging yourself. We don't want to turn this into, well, I'm not good enough. I, suck. That's why I don't give myself permission. This is not, we never, ever, ever want to use any sort of self-improvement or personal growth to beat ourselves up. And that happens a lot. I know that. I did it to myself a lot. but I just want to say out loud, I'll probably say this in other podcasts. I probably have said it in other podcasts. I do not want you to use any sort of self-improvement as a way to actually wind up beating up on yourself more. So what we want to do is come up with those reasons, write them down, and then sort of ask ourselves that, like, that, is it really true? Like, is that the actual only possibility? Is it 100% true that I'm being selfish by taking time to myself instead of cooking my kids dinner? Well, no, the kids may not like it because I've been cooking dinner every night for years. You know, they may not like it. They might complain about it. The food may not be that good, whatever. But it's not selfish, like not 100%, like this sort of absolute, very few things in life are absolute. So that's what that question, that is it true, is meant to sort of get the mind a little off kilter, sort of interrupt that pattern that's just like, yep, you're selfish because you're the mom and you should be doing this and blah, 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 you know, all those thoughts that come in. And, or just the feeling of that responsibility. And instead be able to say, wait a minute, there's bound to be a different way. There's bound to be some other possibility. This can't be absolutely the only way to feel because somebody else is in that same circumstance and they are not feeling that way. They're not saying those same things to themselves. And so we're looking for a way to sort of interrupt, trip up the mind and be like, wait, wait, wait. Maybe there is another answer. Maybe I can give myself permission for this. And part of it lies, part of the power in being able to do that or being able to follow through once, of course, ideally, once we have that kind of little crack in the door, then we start to find a different way of being, a different way of showing up for ourselves, a different way of showing up with other people. And I realize that's maybe the bigger step. That's a lot of what people come to work with me one-on-one with. And of course, I am taking one-on-one clients right now, and I would love to have you reach out to me. You can get, you know, the ways to do that in the show notes. You can drop a comment wherever you picked up this podcast. You can find me on Instagram if you don't already follow me there, Brenda Florida Coach, and simply DM me. But there's a link in the show notes to book a 15-minute call that's free, because the ability to get from, okay, maybe I can give myself permission for that, and then what doing that starts to mean, right? There's a ripple effect of actionable things we need to do in our lives to start to actually manifest that permission. And that can be very hard to navigate on your own. That's true for everybody. I think there's such a misnomer out there that we should, once we have an awareness of what's wrong, we should just be able to then fix it. We should be able to chart a different path. Well, no, charting a different path is really, really, really effing hard. And it is so much easier to do it with a really good life coach like me. Doesn't have to be me. Just make sure it's a good one that works, you know, that you fit with and you feel like you can work with, and is that it is giving you really practical, actionable things. But it's kind of like if you were to just step into a gym, and let's say you've not been to the gym in a while or whatever, and you're looking at the gym floor with all the machines, right? All the exercise machines, weight machines, free weights, like all the things. And you're like, okay, I know I want to improve my body. I know I want to strengthen my body. Okay, that must mean doing something with weights, right? Like that doesn't take a genius, right? But then it's like, oh, but there's all these different things I could do. And I'm not really sure which ones will do the best things for my, as far as what I want out of my body. And given any limitations my body might have, or, you know, making sure I'm using the right form, whatever, like, it's just such a big project to do alone. And could you? Yeah, you could. You could go to each machine and read all the little pictures that tell you how to use it right and what muscles it targets and whatever. You could watch YouTube videos or whatever. But your highest quality experience at the gym is always going to be with a personal trainer. And that's what I consider myself for your life. Like, my clients work through all kinds of things, everything I've talked about today, from being successful professionally to find, you know, really allowing themselves more happiness, to ending people pleasing, to prioritizing themselves, to loving their bodies as they are, to learning how to say no, you know, and all kinds of other things. So relationships with, you know, spouses, with children, with adult children, with, you know, coworkers, aging parents, all the things, because that's why we call it a life coach, right? What I help people do is use these tools that work in every arena of life. But it is so much easier to go through it with somebody else, to have somebody else who's been there and done it, help you learn how to do it. And the big difference, of course, between life and a trip to the gym is that if you get on an exercise machine that strengthens your pecs, they're going to strengthen your pecs and my pecs. Like, it doesn't matter. It's a pec strengthening machine, you know, or biceps, or, you know, your quads or whatever, because all of our muscles are in the same spots and doing exercises for those will strengthen them. Okay. In life, everybody's journey is a little bit different, and how, what impacts you and what helps you is just can be a little different or a little different nuance to something. So I have, like, whatever, I don't count them, a whole bunch of tools, whatever. Let's randomly say I have 20 different tools I use with clients. But each one of those tools gets used in a different way, or many clients don't use all 20, or they just need to use this one, but do it a little different way than the next person does, whatever. And so that's my job. It's not cookie cutter coaching, because life isn't cookie cutter. You have an aging parent, your friend has an aging parent, and you respond a little bit differently. Sure, there are things you have in common. That's the equivalent of the tool. The tool, many clients use the same tool, but then there are nuances that make how they're applying them or using them exactly that are unique to their situation. So that's why life coaching, you know, for me, for my clients, I really can only speak to myself as a coach, is so powerful, because it helps you move from one step to the next in your growth process with the support and the, you know, like, tweaks, the nuances of, like, in the equivalent of the gym, like, is your form right? Are you using, sure, you're using the machine, but if you've moved your arm just a little bit this way or lined your body up a little bit that way, you'd get so much more benefit out of it. And that's what having another person with us can do for us, right? It's hard to do by yourself. So one of the key ingredients, and then I'll wrap up for today, is that in the process of this, we have to learn how to let people have their own journey. We have to leave people to their own journey. I think it was last week's episode, or maybe the week before, but just look in the lineup of episodes and you'll see. And if I remember, I'll put a link in the show notes. But frankly, I think it's easier to look at past episodes often than to get down into the show notes. So anyway, I did an episode on not being attached to the outcome. And I talked about this in that episode a bit, because we have got to leave people to their own responses, their own feelings, their own thoughts, their own responsibilities. As soon as I start needing another person to, you know, fill in the blank, make me feel loved, make me feel good about my body, cheer me on in my business or my, you know, career, whatever the thing is, if we need another person to help us do that, and not to help, to kind of more like allow us, okay? So there's a difference between the kind of help I offer clients and the feeling of, oh, if my mom doesn't tell me I can skip coming to the hospital today, I'm not going to be able to, okay? So this is the difference I mean. So we've got to leave the other people to their own feelings. So in that example of my mom in the hospital, so she's aging, she's sick. And typically I visit her every day, but I'm just super tired today and I really don't want to go. I just need to prioritize myself. I need a break, all the things. So I need to give myself permission for that. And I need to leave her then with her own response to that, with her own feelings about it. She might be disappointed. She might have her feelings hurt. She might be mad at me. She might be glad I'm taking the day and not coming, you know, like whatever. It doesn't, whatever her range of emotions, thoughts, and reactions are hers, and they are not my responsibility. Okay. And that is a big thing. I spend a lot of time with almost every client working on some version of that, however that dynamic shows up for people, because especially as women, but it happens, you know, cross gender and of course to, you know, non-binary people, doesn't matter what your gender is, but it is especially true for everybody in the sort of female perspective culturally. And I think non-binary would just hop over here in the female group, because we've been conditioned. I mean, everybody who identifies as non-binary has had so many things pressed upon them that are false and has tried to make them feel responsible for other people. Like, that's just a given. Culturally, as women, which is what I can speak to because it's what I am, how I identify, I have been raised to believe that how other people feel and react, especially when it's around something I've done, is absolutely my responsibility, is my fault. Let's use the more judgmental word that was used with me. Now, I don't believe that anymore, but it doesn't mean those feelings have completely left me. I can still get caught, sort of like hooked into feeling like, oh, it's my fault they're disappointed because I said I would do this or I usually do that or whatever. And now I'm not. Now I decided to take care of myself. Now I decided to prioritize myself. And now I'm not doing that. And they're upset. And that's my fault. And I am here to tell you that that is not your fault. It's a challenging habit to break. But each one of us is only responsible for ourselves. You are not responsible for how someone else feels, thinks, or behaves. And you are 100% responsible for how you feel, think, and behave. Okay. So if I'm going to take on my own responsibility, I got to leave everybody else to take on theirs. So again, that's kind of a big topic. And there's a lot of personal, everybody's story, everybody's nuances around that are a little bit different, but we can all relate to it because we've, you know, most all of us have been fed into some sort of belief system that makes us responsible for how other people are feeling or thinking or reacting. And so part of the power that becomes available to you when you give yourself permission is the power that is personal to you, that is only yours, and you never have with another person. And that's real power because I never, even if I have the illusion I'm controlling somebody else or I can make somebody else do something or feel a certain way, I don't have any power in that. They do because I'm dependent on their response. So we've got to get back in the driver's seat of our own life and be responsible for ourselves, how we're thinking, feeling, acting, behaving, reacting, all of that, and get out of everybody else's driver's seat because we don't belong there. So I would love to hear what you want to give yourself permission for. Okay. So put it in the comments wherever you're getting this, or head over to Instagram and DM me or email me, whatever you want to do. I want to hear how you want to give yourself permission, not how, what you want to give yourself permission to do. And it could be super tiny. It could just be to take a bubble bath. Like, there are so many ways. We don't have to start with the big things. You may look at your life and go, oh my gosh, I'm not giving myself permission for much of anything. Okay, start really small. Give yourself permission for a bubble bath or an extra long shower or to go for a walk by yourself instead of having your kids go, or instead of taking the dog, or what, you know, whatever. Start really small and work your way into the bigger things. So I can't wait to hear what you're going to give yourself permission for. And I will see you in the next episode of It's Your Turn. Thank you for joining me for this episode of It's Your Turn. I've got resources and links in the show notes for you. But here's what's more fun. DM me on Instagram at Brenda Florida Coach and let me know you listened to today's episode. I'd love to connect with you. And then share this episode with somebody who needs to hear it, because I know you know somebody who needs to hear it. And I'll see you in the next episode of It's Your Turn.